Good morning. This is The Takeaway. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. U.S. markets have opened, and really, quite frankly, they don't know what to make of the major news this morning, which includes central banks, including the Federal Reserve, cutting interest rates in an unprecedented coordinated effort aimed at restoring confidence in the market, and the extraordinary intervention on the part of the U.K. government into the financial sector in Britain. Joining us this morning is New York Times columnist Gretchen Morgenson. Gretchen, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Happy to be here.
After being down about 110 points this morning, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now up, and the S&P is sort of fluctuating around zero, flat this morning. Meanwhile, gold looks to be poised to make a record move today. It's up $40 an ounce. What is going on here?
Well, certainly a flight to safety. Typically you see investors rushing to Treasury bills or bonds, a full faith and credit of the United States government behind them. But I think that people are starting to get wind of the notion that with all of these bailouts that we are having, the Treasury's balance sheet is getting bloated, and you've also got a problem with possible inflation ahead. When you have this much sort of money being printed with abandon, that's definitely inflationary, and gold is a protection against that.
So inflation is all about the overprinting of money, and at least on the part of the validity of the security of the Treasury bills, that's a simple arithmetic. People are adding up just how much the Fed is on the hook for and looking at the number of T-bills, and it just doesn't add up.
Well, what I also want to make clear, and, a lot of people talk about these things as government bailouts. They really are taxpayer bailouts because the taxpayer is the one who is on the hook for the losses, if there are any, and we are almost certain to have some. And so how that works is, it basically just means that the borrowing and the buying power of your dollar is far lower than it would have been otherwise, and that's not a good thing, whether or not it means you're traveling abroad and you can't buy as much as you would have had the dollar been stronger, but also even in your own country. An inflationary spiral is something that just absolutely reduces wealth across the board.
Gretchen, but wouldn't you be more likely to see at least some confidence that perhaps with the European officials and the U.S. financial officials all working in concert, that perhaps we are closer to some kind of resolution of what's troubling the market?
Well, we're certainly closer to a resolution, but I think that what is being reflected in the fear factor that's out there is the idea that really government is kind of our officials are really kind of doing it on an ad hoc basis. It's from putting fires out here, there, and everywhere when really there's a conflagration all around us. And so I think there's still a sense of a lack of confidence that we have the officials responding in a concerted way. We see that more and more now. Certainly the Fed was standing in to buy commercial paper from American corporations, which is something that has not happened since the Depression, is a good thing to do. It will help to unfreeze the credit markets, which will get, really have good effect on the economy. But the fact is that I think that the response by the authorities has been sort of late in the game, and now they're playing catch up.
And, you were talking about this issue of the taxpayers are on the hook. Explain the mechanism on how that actually works. I mean, every year there's a certain amount of obligations in the budget that the Congress doesn't have much discretion on. And those are, debt obligations that we're required to pay, Treasury bills, that sort of thing, interest on the national debt, all that sort of thing. If we're suddenly on the hook for more than Congress can cough up in any given fiscal year, what does the government do?
Well, they can always raise money. They have the printing presses and the power of the printing press, which is, an immense power indeed. The kinds of losses that I was talking about really are the losses on the bailout mechanisms that have been put in place. We have an $85 billion loan, for example, to AIG. That's a two-year loan to that company, the largest insurer in the world, to see if they can sell assets at a fair enough price and a good enough price that the taxpayer can be paid back that $85 billion. If they cannot sell for an excess of that amount, then, of course, the losses on that loan will go to the Treasury. That means we absorb them, the taxpayers. Now, also, $700 billion loan, a $700 billion backstop facility that the Congress put in place to try to buy up mortgage securities that are, you know, in disarray and distress. If those mortgage securities are not purchased for a good price and resold at a higher price, then we will also absorb losses on that $700 billion bailout. The other one, of course, is Bear Stearns, which we have, the Fed has backstopped to the degree of $29 billion. And if they cannot get that money back again, it'll be a taxpayer loss. So I'm really talking about the actual money that has been set aside and or already deployed to bail out these companies. And if it is not returned fully, 100%, then those are losses to the taxpayer.
And I guess the markets are just extrapolating out and going, if those loans don't come in, and there are also other obligations in the most latest rescue package, it can be added into the money supply and becomes a direct inflationary problem that is going to lower the value of the dollar.
That's right. They have to keep printing money to make up for these problems, and they need to keep printing money to be able to fund these bailouts. And it really does not look like we're at the end of the bailout line here. It's become an assembly line that just keeps going and going. And, of course, it's now going around the world as well, as you pointed out, in Europe. So this is inflationary. This is why gold is racing today. And, it's just not something that I think Americans want to see, the value of their dollar decline.
I mean, Gretchen, what keeps coming to my mind is like a bottomless pit. These enormous amounts of money that are not only being injected into the banking system, but into companies, not only here in the U.S., but in Europe.
Absolutely true. And this is one of the things that I think puzzles a lot of people who are, you know, not on Wall Street and not working at these firms. And that is how in the world did some, bad mortgages really turn out to be such a massive problem where we're talking about trillions of dollars of losses? Well, the quick answer to that is that the banks who made those loans and or were left with them at the end of the line when the music stopped had borrowed very, very, very massively against them. And so they used borrowed money. And when those assets fell in value, then they had to come up with more collateral. It's leverage on top of risky securities, and it's really a potent, toxic combination.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned that the headline in the FT yesterday was banks prepare for credit default swap write-downs and payouts. So that's going to be even more volatility and more toxicity. Gretchen Morgenson, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.